you are someone's flavor, and not everyone is going to love the flavor that you are, but that's okay. This is how we find connection. This is how we actually become relatable. It's how we actually share our message. It's we're looking for those people who our message resonates with them. And it's not going to be everyone. And that's okay, because everyone who minds, they don't matter. And everyone who matters, they don't mind.
Hi friends, are you currently walking through a season in your life that feels unexpectedly difficult as a result of a major decision or occurrence, particularly one that involved uprooting your well-established life well into your adulthood, and you found yourself in a situation where you're faced with the uphill task of rebuilding your life from scratch? Along with that excitement and possibilities also came anxiety and uncertainty. You're trying your darn best to figure out how to fit in, how to stand out, and everything in between. You're over small talks and you yearn for something more intimate, something deeper, something more honest and meaningful. You're ready to walk away from the resentment, negativity, and from feeling lost and drained, and you want to start taking charge and welcoming a life that's more intentional, more whole, and more joyful. Most of all, you wish for a life where you can still live out your purpose and do what lights you up from within. If you're saying yes to all of the above, this podcast is for you. Join me as I take you along on my journey of being a fairly new migrant from Singapore to the US and share with you the ups and downs, the ins and outs of my new life in this new city and how I was able and continue to find the support, tools, and community to help me arrive at a version of my life that's more aligned with my heart, head, and soul. We will hear from other expats, migrants, and transplants of this shared yet personal journey of living abroad, navigating the adjustments, tapping into their resiliency, and living out their lives in an intentional and purposeful way. We will also hear from guest experts, from therapists to wellness coaches to artists, and hear them share with us some tips, advice, and resources to support and inspire you as you continue to courageously navigate through this season. Together, we'll grow through what we go through. Together, we'll stand resilient and rooted. I'm your host, friend, and ally, Lillian, and I'm beyond grateful and excited to have you on this journey with me. Let's dive in. Hello, friends. Happy Friday. Welcome back to another episode of the Resilient and Rooted podcast. We are at episode 18 today, and I want to thank you so much for joining me here and for arriving in this space with me. How has your week been? There's a part of me, even though I love hanging out with you in this forum, in this platform, there's a part of me that missed and wished and desired that I could have seen your faces, that I could have you physically around me so that I can give you a hug and thank you from the bottom of my heart for embracing me and having me in your ears and your life. That's definitely a part that I truly missed since the beginning of the pandemic. I know there are parts of the world, like India, for instance, who is struggling badly at this moment, trying to battle and get out of the wrath of the pandemic. And I'm just glad and relieved that the part of the world that I'm in, 50% of Americans have since now been vaccinated, and I am feeling safer, feeling more sure that, I'll be able to get out there again and see parts of the US that I haven't had an opportunity to see since I came here. I am definitely missing going home, but unfortunately, that's a trip I have to put on the back burner at the moment as I work through my visa situation. But like I said, I'm hopeful. And I also learned that my mom in Singapore has finally agreed to schedule her appointment. She is having all these fears with needles and, you know, letting media feed her fear. So I'm glad that she's willing to overcome it. She's willing to listen to the signs. And yeah, I'm happy that she's going to feel safer and that I feel safer for her, that she could find some level of normalcy back into her life again. So if you follow me on my Instagram, you would have learned that I recently sold my first car here in the US and I'm waiting to get my new car. It's exciting, but I wanted to share with you guys that I guess what they say about your first is that it always leaves a special place in my heart. And for me, I think in this case, it's because it taught me a lesson. For 30 years of my life, I've been holding myself back. I've been limiting myself with the belief about myself that I'm no good at driving, that I actually hate driving. And I prefer to be chauffeured around. It's okay. I don't need to learn that skill. And I tried once to take the test in Singapore. I failed. And I just took that as, yep, see, I told you, I'm not good at it. So for me to kind of walk out of that and today being able to say that I've learned how to drive in one of the most treacherous areas in the US, here in Texas, and that I have been able to come outside of my comfort zone, be okay with making mistakes, give myself grace, believe in myself that I am more than what my limiting belief of 30 years was. All of that had significance. All of that signified my independence, my growth, and my ability to learn, my ability to give myself grace and compassion. And it's been a beautiful story, and I think it's definitely a chapter in the books that I would highlight for my first days, my first years here in the US when I think back about it, about this 10, 20, 30, 50 years later. And you know, all of this, just as I marinate and think about it, it left me asking myself, what other limiting beliefs about myself do I have? Have I been harboring that, you know, maybe, just maybe, if I let myself get a little messy, if I trust myself a bit more, if I give myself more grace through the process, what else would I have been able to open up to learn, to acquire? Do you relate to this thought process? Because, yeah, I'm curious. I find myself wanting to dive in deeper and learn more. And who knows? We all are a bright light and we have so much more potential than we give ourselves credit for. So it's definitely a rabbit hole that I am excited to dive down more into. And if you are for it, join me. I would love to hear if you have a thought or two about this. On that note, as we talked about grace and compassion for self, I am beyond excited to introduce to you the guest that we have on the podcast today, because she is someone who is a pro when it comes to being gracious with yourself. On the podcast today, I am joined by the confident, fearless, full of life of an amazing human, Mary D. Mary is adoringly known by many near and far as the Joy Catalyst. She is also an acclaimed international keynote speaker, mentor, and business advisor in leadership and operational efficiency, curator of Mad Loveology Retreats, and she's also one of the 16 co-authors of the number one bestseller on Amazon, Asian Woman Who Boss Up. That's right, she is in the same realm and cohort as Denise Michelle, who was on my podcast, as well as Annie Hardock, who was on my podcast a few episodes ago. If you haven't had an opportunity to listen to these dynamic conversations, I would strongly encourage you to. But for now, I hope you are ready, buckled down with pen and paper as we dive into this conversation with Mary, who has a story and journey like no other that I've met. She literally made me felt like I just interviewed and had a deep connected conversation with the likes of Oprah Winfrey. Yes, you heard me right. The conversation with Mary was delightful, full of laughs, but also very powerful at the same time. Are you ready? Let's go. Here is Mary. Take a listen. Hi, Mary. Thank you so much for making time and coming on the show.
Lillian, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited about sharing today, and I love contributing to the big things that you're doing in the world.
I am so excited. Like, just a quick background for my listeners, how we actually got connected. So Mary is actually also part of one of the 16 authors in the book of Asian Women Who Boss Up. And I was made the connection via Anne, and Mary has so graciously said yes to come on the show. She is just a powerhouse. I'll let her tell you more about who she is and give a good introduction about all the great things that she is on and embarking before, now, and going to in the future. And I cannot wait for you guys to just absorb and find value in all of this. If you haven't grabbed a pen and paper, I would suggest you do, because there's going to be tons of great nuggets in this conversation. So let's just dive right in. Tell us more about you. What do you do? Who you are? Where you're from? All the good stuff.
Absolutely. So you, as you mentioned, I did co-author a book last month called Asian Women Who Boss Up. We hit number one bestseller on Amazon, and that's opened lots of beautiful doors. And it's a lot of powerful stories about women from different Asian backgrounds and just how we have transformed our pain into purpose, which is actually one of my big messages. I'm pinching myself because of that opportunity. I am a foreign-born American. My dad was an American citizen and my mom is Thai. So I was born overseas, but we came over when I was very young. And I have had the privilege of growing up here in America, but still very much hanging on to my Asian roots, because I really got literally the best of both worlds growing up. Yeah. I'm known as the Joy Catalyst because I sprinkle happy dust on everyone I meet. I'm an international keynote speaker for audiences that want to be inspired, a mentor and business advisor specializing in leadership and operations efficiency. And my passion is first and foremost helping others turn their pain into purpose. I'm also the curator of Mad Loveology Retreats, which are designed to spark and deepen connection, confidence, and most importantly, to help people transform their pains into a bigger purpose. So if anyone's ready to transform their pain into purpose, they're welcome to check out the link on my website at maryd.com. I've got a 5-day free challenge there for anyone looking to, ignite a little fire in their life and see where passion leads them. I'm also a breast cancer survivor who decided to heal holistically after a double mastectomy. And that journey has come full circle because now I sit as the chair of the board for thebreasties.org. It's a community of young women affected by breast and reproductive cancers. And we bring them support, resources, and lots of love through connection. And lastly, I've got another book coming out. I mean, it's actually through a publisher, but the whole book will be all mine. And that one's called Just Eat the Cake, A Recipe for Living a Life of Joy and Courage. And that will come out next year. But of course, people can grab that for pre-sale now on my website as well. And I'm excited just about being here with you all today and connecting. And I hope that we're going to have some good conversation here and that people will feel enlightened and encouraged and know that they're here for a reason, that they're here for a reason, and that something here will spark interest and spark a fire in their heart.
Oh my gosh, so many beautiful things happening for you, to you, all of that. And I mean, I'm already inspired. I am like completely ready to jump into a deep dive conversation with Mary. First and foremost, I mean, that's a ton of accolades. If you were to kind of reel back and go back to the time where you started everything, like, what would you say inspired you? Like, what was the spark inside you that started all of this?
Great question. The spark for me, this is what I'll say. As someone who carries joy as my baseline, this was an interesting journey for me because I actually went from joy to, oh my gosh, what is this like deep hole that I've just fallen into? And how do I crawl back out of it? Because I only know joy is my baseline. And so now I'm having all these other new emotions and new experiences. Through that process, I learned lots of things. One of the biggest ones being healing isn't linear. And we have to be patient with ourselves and really compassionate with ourselves, and that we can be so much harder on our own self than we are even on other people. 100%. So I think that compassion was such a huge part of it. And initially, when I kind of look at my life in two lumps, right? Like the first, or chapters rather, the first chapter of my life was working and being invited to start companies and lead and just do some of these things that came really naturally for me. And I was placed with people in businesses that were just a good fit. I was just really blessed and lucky. I mean, I don't really know how else to tell you. I didn't have some major chart or graph that I designed for my life and said, I think this is how it's going to go. I really let the universe show up for me. And the difference, though, is I would say the next chapter of my life, which is post-cancer, post-lawsuit, post all these crazy things that happened to me during the time that I got breast cancer. This is the new side of life where I'm like, wow, if I could actually look back on the last, 40 years of my life, 20 of that being career, what does need to be different or what should be different for me? Like, what would feel right? And for me, for sure, that huge piece was, how do I make a bigger social impact in a positive way? How do I focus my life around the things that really matter? Because making millions of dollars in a business aren't what really matters unless you've got a really big reason for what you plan on doing with that money that's going to invest in communities or invest in the well-being of others or create some, social wellness program or the betterment and better welfare of society. If it's just for having a fancy car or a fancy house, like I'm so past that. And I think if I could go back in time and tell my younger self, what are those things that are most important? It would be that like the cars and the houses and the money that will come, but focus on what you love and what fuels you, because that's what you're going to spend your days and your time doing. And when your heart is behind it, everything else follows in this beautiful way. And you actually get to live the life that you love and you can create it really intentionally.
I mean, just hearing you get into all that, like it's just striking a question inside me that I find myself struggling myself to like, let's just sit here and allow all of this to come to me and it's going to work out and I shouldn't have to worry about the outcome. And I'm also speaking about this, say, from someone with an Asian upbringing that it's brought up in the culture where being a doctor, engineer, lawyer are like the things you want to shoot for, like, and getting a good job, great position, good high paying money is your go-to and it should be your goal. Like, how did you get to the point that you're like, no, yes, those are great, but there's something else out there that's greater for me. And I know that's it. And I am able and willing now to just trust the process and the universe and good things is going to come my way. Like, how would you say that, I guess, shift was like for you?
Mm. I think growing up in an Asian household, you're right. We have this pressure, and the norm is our parents want us to go get these good paying, high paying jobs, at least in their eyes, right? There's not typically the conversation of, well, what fuels you and makes you feel good and that you want to go out and do in the world, right? It's like, if you love drawing, they're like, great, you can do that on the weekends, but during the week, you're going to be a doctor, right?
Oh my gosh.
There's yes. Understanding that our parents come from their generation of what they know, and they're doing the best that they can, in the same way that as this new generation, we're probably doing the best we can for, the people we have influence over. Mm-hmm. And so I like to give parents, specifically my Asian parents, a lot of grace when it comes to that, because I know my mom was like, just because we're poor doesn't mean you have to dress like it and wear a little blush so you don't look like a homeless person. And, this isn't bad advice, but at the same time, it's like, well, is that big of a deal? Like, how big a deal is beauty at, and then who defines what beauty is? And then do you hound your family enough that suddenly your kids have a complex because they're not feeling beautiful enough? Mm. So this is where the best laid intentions sometimes don't land in those really beautiful ways, and they become traumas. Mm-hmm. And, Asian community, we're no exception when it comes to sort of the boxes that we've been put in. And part of that is because even our parents have encouraged us to go find those professions that they see as being high levels of education and security. Right. And that's what people are shooting for. How can I get security, and how do I pass it on to my children so they can feel secure?
Right.
And that's a basic need. I get it. But I think a big piece of it is, and I know this, I can say this for myself anyways, was that my mom was always encouraging, and she always said, you can be anything you want to be. And she actually wasn't overly specific about what it needed to be. Like, it wasn't like, so when are you going to be a doctor? What kind of doctor are you going to be? What kind of surgeon do you want to be? Like, she wasn't that like all in on just being a doctor. She was like, you can be whatever you want to be. And then she might make a few suggestions.
Yeah.
But the bigger piece of that was, I think, me leaning into like the fact that there's lots of things we can do in this world. There aren't just doctors, teachers, firemen, and policemen. Like, there's more categories of work that exist in the world. Mm-hmm. And I also realized that my mom is only sharing with me from her lens. Mm-hmm. And if I ever want to be able to excel beyond the experiences my parents have had, then I have to have a bigger vision for myself. And if I don't know what that looks like, I have to go find someone who can give me a bigger vision. Mm-hmm. And that, I think, was the main part of me getting sparked to be something different and to go into entrepreneurship and to embrace it. It's looking around and saying, well, who are successful people that I know or know of? And how do I get to where they're getting? Is there someone that can show me how to do that? And I got mentors early in life. When now that I see my nieces and nephews, I'm like, go find a mentor. Even if you're not sure what you're going to do, go find someone who is living the life that you want to live, who has the time freedom, who has the financial freedom, who is happy and joyful and at peace. Go find that person and go work with them. Go mentor under them. Go create friendships with them. Go be friends with their friends, because these are all of the positive influences that you can be inviting into your life right now that will impact you for the rest of your life. And I'm so grateful that I embraced that early on in life, because that has made all the difference, all the difference.
I love all of what you just said. I feel like I really admire the fact that you have the capability and capacity to like kind of draw the line there and be like, I am my own person. Sure, my parents raised me and they're great people. They come with good intentions, but I kind of know what I want and I would like to go for it and try it out. And it's also just the idea, the notion that you were able to just lean in, like you said, and just listen to it and follow it.
give it a shot. And it got you to where you're at today. And I'm sure your parents are completely, awesomely proud of you. And you should be so proud of yourself too.
Yeah. I mean, my mom has literally been my rock and my supporter, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. my biggest cheerleader for sure my whole life. And she's yeah. one of those moms who still daily sends encouraging little messages and notes over. And she's always got something, you know, encouraging to say to yeah. to lighten up my day and inspire me as well. And, you know, if any parents are listening, I want to tell you that one of the biggest things you can ever do for your children is to literally love them unconditionally. And in doing that, encouraging them to just be their best self, but not telling them that it has to be a certain thing. You give them so much more freedom of choice and freedom to lean into the fact that now they're not burdened by if you're going to guilt them or if they're going to feel guilty or unaccepted by the choices that they make. Because one of the best things we can all do for ourselves is be comfortable with making mistakes and be comfortable with having some failures, because those failures are lessons and those lessons help shape us to make better decisions the next time. Yeah. So instead of looking at things and going, oh, I'm going to screw this up or I can screw this up, it's how can I learn from this as quickly as possible, knowing I might make some mistakes along the way so that I can do a better job the next time.
Right. And the other thing that I wanted to also mention, just listening to you, is this whole notion of shame, right? Like how we knowingly, unknowingly put this amount of, say, stress, pressure on ourselves that our parents, people around us, our loved ones have expectations of us. And we assume that, and it's oftentimes only through really having some, I would even say, challenging, hard conversations. And I'm talking about this from my own point of view, especially now, having lived the last 2-3 years in Houston, away from my family in Singapore, I'm able to kind of almost have that different perspective and be able to compare how it was for me then, living under the same roof with my mom, in that culture, in that way of upbringing, and then now having that separation physically, like literally, right? And then understanding how important it is to sometimes have those conversations to kind of bridge that uncertainty, assumptions, and then realize actually in the end that you being their children, they are happy for you as long as you're happy at the end of
right.
the day, right?
Right, right. Yeah. You know, one of the biggest things I learned was that my mom, she was one of those, you know, I was a latchkey kid, meaning my mom worked 2 jobs. When my dad divorced her, I was really young. I was only like 5 years old. Oh, wow. So she here is in a foreign country to her, having to learn English, having to figure out the ways of the USA, trying to figure out how work works, you know, and on top of making sure I get some sort of education. And so I was left alone a lot. And through that, obviously the things like fear and, you know, being scared of the dark, those are all little nuances that come up
right.
for kids who have, you know, go to sleep with their parents in the house. So we have this extra layer of stuff that we have to get through. And, you know, there's no one to help coach my mom through how to talk right. me through the fear pieces. But my mom, she always said, she said, be brave. She's like, you have nothing to fear. There's nothing in the dark that's going to get you. And then she would like show me how to protect myself, which I couldn't fully like, you know, grasp at the time. But now that I look back, I'm like, wow, my mom really instilled in me that I don't have anything to be afraid of. And she was right. She ended up being right. I really didn't. I was blessed in that sense. And that really nothing came about that was that I couldn't handle, you know, other than me having my own thoughts with myself in the dark and being like, I think I'll be okay.
Yeah.
So going back now, when I'm traveling and I'm, you know, on a boat or swimming with sharks or jumping off of a building or whatever it is, it's funny for me to look back and hear my mom now, because she'll say things to me like, oh my gosh, there are sharks in the water. Are you sure it's safe in the ocean? And oh my goodness, you're so far away and are you by yourself? And she has all these interesting fears that I just can't quite put together in my mind, because this is the mom who raised me to be right. so fearless. And I'm like, wow, my mom is a big chicken. Like I grew up,
oh
you know, she faked it, whatever it was that she did, but it worked because I believed her that I had nothing to fear. And I, you know, grew up being this fearless person who was ready to try everything twice. And I laugh now because she's so vocal about, oh, that sounds scary. And oh, are you sure you want to do that? And I think because of that, also, I've learned that her fears are not my fears. Mm. And that's okay. This is where I have to let her, she's uncomfortable, sure, with some of the activities I might do, but it doesn't change her love for me. Mm-hmm. It doesn't change that bond that we have. We just have to accept each other's differences. I have to say to her that I still love her, even if she doesn't want to participate in those things. Mm-hmm. I'm going to still participate in them because I enjoy them for myself. And in that way, we get to acknowledge each other and we get to create acceptance between our differences in a way that doesn't divide us, in a way that doesn't separate us. Instead, it's something we can laugh about and accept and move on from.
Oh my gosh, there's so much good things to learn in just that piece, even just learning how to communicate effectively. Like, communication, such a big deal in any kind of relationships you're in. And oftentimes we fail to do a better job at doing that. And it's even harder with the people closest to us because you always fear that you might burn that relationship, like it's too hard a conversation, all mm-hmm. that things. And yeah, and sometimes it just comes down to being kind, being curious when you walk into any kind of conversation and then start from that place, you know?
Okay.
Love that. That's awesome. I want to pivot the conversation some now because I want to dive more into you as an Asian female entrepreneur. I want to learn, and I'm curious about how is that journey like for you? And would you say that being Asian in this entrepreneurial journey, did that make things harder, more challenging? And I also wanted to ask, what is the most fulfilling part of this entire thing, if you could name one? Or two.
Yeah, so good. Let's see. I'm going to actually start backwards. The most fulfilling part of what I do is I get such satisfaction from helping someone go from a place of confusion and discontent and unknowing and watching them see a whole new perspective or grasp a whole new concept in a way that it opens their eyes to a point of view or to a side of that strategy or to the clarity that they didn't even know was there. They were, you know, scratching around in the dark and it's like, I just brought a flashlight over. I think that's the most fulfilling part because you get to see someone go from point A to point B and in a beautiful way that really shifts their reality. It shifts their life. It shifts their energy in a really positive way. So it's that positive shift that is for sure the most fulfilling for me. I can do that all day long. That sparks me and lights me up all day.
I can see that in your eyes.
Yes, I for sure. The glitter comes off, you know, when that happens.
Right.
As far as all of the things pertaining to, you know, me growing up as an Asian female in our American society, things have certainly come a long way and a lot further than they once were. But unfortunately, things are still working their way to that, you know, equality level that I do wish and strive for the entire community. I think I've been privileged because I am Asian American and I'm racially ambiguous depending on who is looking at me. When I'm in Texas, everyone thinks I'm Mexican. When I'm in Hawaii, everyone thinks I'm Hawaiian. So I have this sort of way about me that isn't, no one's quite sure. And that's worked both probably for me as well as against me. Mm-hmm. I've worked in male-dominated industries for most of my life. Historically, I'm a COO. And in that world, I'm almost always the only female executive playing in a room full of men. And I've been really good at holding my own in those spaces. But it's because I'm confident and it's because I know my craft and I show up in that knowing. But I also show up in the ability to say, hey, like, I want to learn something here too. Like, I hope I'm in a room full of people who are smarter than I am. And that together through this collaboration, we figure out how all these pieces come together and make whatever we're doing beautiful, make it successful, make it complete. Mm. And so through that, have I had to deal with some of the inequalities? Yes. I would say that more of me being a woman than me being Asian in that sense, right. Because I can't speak for someone else's bias when right. it comes to whether they're, you know, whether they care for me being Asian or not, because I don't know, right? I don't come into it with that bias. And so that's how I show up. But for sure, I've sat at the table before where someone thinks I'm the secretary or, okay. you know, and I'm like, oh no, I'm here to write up this deal and sign it, you know? So there's always a good chuckle there, you know, a little bit of uncomfortableness, but then we shift right out of it. And there's just grace. You know, I have grace with myself in those situations too. And I just realized that these types of opportunities are my opportunity to help shift that bias in someone else. So if they did think less, then I want to show up as my best self and figure out how can I help them go, wow, I did not get what I bargained for there. And I now am more open-minded. Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to receive women or Asian women, you know what, a little bit more of an open mind. And so if I can be that person for someone, then I'm just a reminder that that's what I'm here for. I can be that reminder for someone, right? You've got a problem. Yes. I have a solution. And if you want that solution enough, then I think you'll be able to work through whatever biases or limiting beliefs you might have around what I look like or where I'm from.
Mm. I mean, there's no doubt from the first minute of connecting with you, how confident you are and how fearless a person you are, but to also see this side of you who has empathy, who is kind, who is curious, who is willing to walk into a room being not the smartest person in the room and still look through a positive lens and be like, I'm here to learn. Like, I'm willing to not be the smartest and you tell me, and I want to absorb and find value in whatever is here in this room. Like, having a combination of both of that, I mean, there's no question why you're successful the way you are today. It's just so clear to me that all those qualities just played a huge part in who you are today.
Thank you. I like to tell people I'm a social creature, you know, like I'm like, go team. What do we all need to do to come together to make a thing work? How do we do it with fun? How do we live out loud? How can we acknowledge our uniqueness in each of us and celebrate our differences? And I think all of those things are what give me joy and ignite me. I love seeing the difference. I would live a boring life if I filled a room with people who were only like me, right. you know, and it's being able to have philosophical or even political discussions with people where you can go back and forth, but do it in a way that is in respect and in peace and in not taking personal offense. Mm. And I think that's really served me well over my lifetime as well.
Yeah, that piece is a huge part, which is not taking things too personally. I think that's a trait that I definitely feel like I've learned to hone being in a culture in America where you just kind of sometimes have to be okay to be laughed at and just laughed it off and be like, oh yeah, and then just make a thing out of it. And nobody at the end of the day truly defined you as that person that made that stupid mistake at the end of the day, if there are people that actually care about you. So it's just being able to discern that sometimes, right? Yes. Okay. So of course, your craft is in helping people find their light in that darkness and to point them in the direction that that's your thing. So I want to just dive in a little bit into if, let's say, for my listeners who are listening and say they have a desire inside them. They're like, yeah, I'm not really at where I am now. I do have something that I want to pursue. That's something that I love, that I want to start new. What would be some tips, advice that you can share for them to kind of feel like, yeah, maybe take that next step, try that and do that. And then let's see where you are. Like just something that can help them take that tiny first step outside of their comfort zone. Like, what would be some advice that you have there?
Oh, I love that. My advice is get started. It really is. Oh. Pen and paper. That's right. I think one of the big ones that comes up is, oh, I want to put together an event and I want to teach people something. Mm. I'm like, okay, so hop on Meetup and put together or put out an invite. I don't care if two people show up. Do your best to share that and teach those two people. You know, go find a group of kids in school that you can get in front of and teach them your thing, right? There's going to be someone who hasn't had the experiences that you've had.
Yeah.
And it's just finding your right people to share that with. Sometimes it might be the dog or the cat. They might be your first audience if you're, you know, wanting to speak and talk about how you're going to change the world. And that's okay. If they're your first audience, well, how good are you at captivating them as an audience, right? How do you make progress? People worry too much about the perfection of things, self-included. Yeah, I've been guilty of that many times. And when I look back, I just laugh and I'm like, well, I could have gotten to where I wanted to get so much faster if I had not gotten so caught up in the perfection of things. There is something beautiful about just doing it and showing up for it and letting the universe show up for you as well.
Yes.
And then you make the tweaks along the way. Because sometimes what happens is we get feedback we didn't even think of. And then we have to go back to our thing that we made so perfect and change it again.
Yeah.
Because we were in our own mind about what that needed to look like. Mm-hmm. Just get started. Put the intention out there, because as you move through it, you'll become more motivated to continue to do it and to move into it. And you'll get new ideas and you'll see how people are responding. And people might ask you new questions that you weren't even considering. Every great idea only happened because someone actually took action behind it. So whatever your idea is, whatever the thing is that you want to move to or through or get towards, you just have to start and be okay with the fact that it may not be perfect.
Yeah, no, I love that. So I hear just start, and I hear start messy. Doesn't need to be perfect. Start small, even if it's just your cat, your dog, or your mom that's listening to it.
Start it.
Because that's also, these are avenues for you to get better, for you to practice. And then eventually your story is going to resonate and someone's going to put you out there. And before you know it, it's going to just blow up. You just don't know.
That's right.
The other thing that I hear a lot, it's also like myself included, which is like someone else is already doing it. Why would anyone listen to me? What would you say to that?
Oh, that's such a good one. This is imposter syndrome that we're dealing
that's
with
right.
when we say, well, there's somebody else. Look, there's always going to be someone who does it better.
Mm-hmm.
There's also, for everyone that does it better, there's going to be a few people who also do it worse. And sometimes it's the people that are doing it worse that are the ones out there killing it in the marketplace because they're willing to start, they're willing to do it messy, and they're willing to just go for it. And that's why I kind of led with the first thing, which was let's just go for it and let's get started. No better time to start than now. Because here's the thing. There is plenty to go around. And leaning into an abundance mindset helps us alleviate the pressure of having to be the one person in the world who does that thing so well, because we're the only person that anyone's ever going to listen to. That's not how it works. If that's how it worked, there would not just be one kind of organized religion. I mean, look at how many different ways people come to believe in God.
Yeah.
There's so many across the globe. Whether you come through it from a philosophical standpoint, whether you have rigid rules, whether you have loose rules, some churches want to play full band drums, guitar, remake pop songs into Jesus songs. Others are like, no, we only sing out of a hymnal, only to the piano. Like, there's so many flavors that this is the same thing. You are someone's flavor. And not everyone is going to love the flavor that you are, but that's okay. This is how we find connection. This is how we actually become relatable. It's how we actually share our message. It's we're looking for those people who our message resonates with them. And it's not going to be everyone. And that's okay, because everyone who minds they don't matter. And everyone who matters, they don't mind. You're their flavor. They're showing up for your gift, your experiences, whatever it is that you have been through in the world. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes it beautiful, because no one is you.
Yeah.
And so allow that energy to open up and allow those right people to come hear that message that you're here to give, right? I call it the domino. How do we every day go out and hit our one domino? When I go speak to a large audience of people, I don't say to myself, oh, I hope that every single person opts in to continue to listen to me and what I have to say, or takes my messaging or these leadership tips from me because I'm the perfect leader. Not at all. My hope is that there's at least one person in that audience that I can touch their life in a really beautiful way that makes them say, wow, her message resonates with me. She's someone I think I can learn from. She's someone who has something to contribute that inspires me. And if I can be that person for one person, then I'm like, fantastic. I did my job today. Because who knows, when I hit that one domino, who that person will be? Because what if in a room full of thousands of people, that one person was Oprah Winfrey? How much would that change someone's life? Right. And that's just an example. Like, you don't necessarily have to garner the love of the masses. You just have to garner the love of that right tribe for you. And then you can build something really beautiful from it.
All of that is just leaving me in like goosebumps all over. It's like, it's so juicy and so good. And I would even expand and say that I feel like we need to sometimes appreciate the people that don't resonate with our message, because then it makes it clear that you actually are somebody who has a stand, and that makes you more invaluable to the community and the world that you are trying to go out there and serve and be a part of. Oh my gosh, Mary, I can keep going. I don't want to stop. I can keep going, but we have to at some point. I want you to tell my audience, if they are interested in your offerings, your journey, your day-to-day, just being in part of your realm and life, how and where can they connect and find you?
I love that. So the easiest way to get in touch with me is through my website. It's maryd.com. And that's just my name spelled out, maryde.com. There are media pieces on there. There's an opt-in on there. I've got a free 5-day challenge on there. You can join me across pretty much any social media handle, Instagram, Facebook, Clubhouse, Twitter. I'm at the Mary D on all of those platforms. And we do some fun Clubhouse lives 3 times a week. You can pop on to maryd.com over in the media section and you'll see the schedule there. And it's just, I'm excited about connecting with that one person, whoever they are listening, that resonates with this message and is ready to transform their pain into purpose. And I just appreciate you, Lillian, for having me on today and sharing your gift of being such a wonderful host and change maker in the world.
Thank you. I so appreciate that. Well, whoever is listening and wants to be in your realm, they are number two, because I am number one. Like, I'm standing right there, first in the line, getting myself into all of the good things that you're putting out there in the world. So thank you so much. Well, there's one more question that I am actually curious about. We are in Q2, crazy, but Q2 already this year. What are you looking forward to personally and for your business this new year?
Oh, I'm looking forward to so much. I mean, like most of the world, traveling again.
Oh, yes.
I've got my sights set on Costa Rica. I've got my sights set on Cabo San Lucas. I've got my sights set on seeing my mom. So those are definitely on the table. We just got an RV. So I think part of my journey will be maybe even exploring new places that I haven't touched yet across the United States. So travel is for sure at the very top of that list. When it comes to business, I look forward to doing face-to-face in-person retreats again. I miss that so much. I miss putting my arms around each and every person. I mean, Zoom is great. Don't get me wrong. It certainly has done its part in keeping us connected as much as we can be. Mm-hmm. But, you know, nothing beats a warm human body that you can sit and have dinner with and, eat a meal with and laugh and cry with in person. And that's the part I'm really, really craving and looking forward to the most.
I'm right there with you. Like a good hug, it's what I really, really, truly miss. An actual, real, get up in there type of hug. Oh, I'm like, I want that. I miss that so much. Yeah. Great. No, awesome stuff. I want to close out the session with you. But before that, let's go through a series of rapid fire questions because they're fun. I love doing them. Uh-huh. So if you're up for it, let's go. The first question I have on here, favorite things to do for self-care.
Ooh, self-care. Massages, 100% are on the top of that list. Just had one yesterday. Have another one scheduled for Wednesday. I love those. Touch is my love language. So obviously massage is a big one of that. Other self-care pieces are going to be boba runs. For any of you boba tea lovers out there, I am a boba-holic. And that is self-care for me, is trying different boba flavors. And I literally find joy in every drink of boba. And then that's a big one. The other one is in just the daily habits. I have some really solid daily habits that are part of my wake up routine and my wind down routine. And those habits are grounding for me. They include meditation and gratitude. Those are my self-care as well as my healthcare. And stretching, movement. I love to wake up in the morning and get my cells dancing, and music fills the room for me, and movement absolutely does that for me. I was joking because one of my friends, she came over the other day in the morning and she could hear the music upstairs, and she yells up, she goes, "Mary, are you awake?" I said, "Yeah, of course I am." She goes, "What are you doing?" I said, "Oh, I'm dancing around." She goes, "Are you naked?" I go, "Yeah." It's like, my friends know me well enough that like they have to, you know, just before they come up, they're like, "Let me just double check this." I'm like, "All right, fine. I'll put clothes on. Come on."
Right. Like they're like, "That can happen. So let me check first."
That's right. That's right. My friends know what to expect. Oh, so at least I can say I'm consistent.
It's awesome. It's so great. I love that. It's so good. I have a question for your boba fanatic side of you. Like, have you found a favorite flavor?
Ooh, have I found a favorite flavor? I don't think I have one favorite flavor. It depends on the boba place. I think all milk tea is not created equal.
Yeah.
So making some adjustments, and sometimes it just depends on what I'm in the mood for. And like I said, I'm adventurous. So if they get something new, I will totally try it. If they're like, "Oh, this is toast boba with jelly," I'll be like, "Sign me up. Let's try it out." Sounds terrible, but maybe it'll be delicious. I don't know.
Right, because your heart for adventure is just like, it's just so good. It's so amazing. I love that. I love that about you. Okay, a couple more. Current mantra that you are living by.
Ooh, my current mantra is, there is more than enough and the universe is always conspiring for me.
I'm letting that sink in for a moment. So good. I mean, that just wraps up all the good nuggets that you've shared with us in this episode. Really love that. One last one that I have on the list is there a book that you're currently reading or listening to?
I'm actually one of those people who reads and listens to multiple books at the same time. And I don't mean literally like turning on two audios at the same time, but I go a few chapters in one book and then I switch over and do a few chapters in another. If I'm driving, then it's an audio. And I do love, there's a book called The Healing Code. And I'm listening to that one right now, almost done with that one. The one that I'm actually reading an actual book in my hand is one called The Anatomy of Peace. And I feel like this Anatomy of Peace by the Arbinger Institute is so good because it's timely. It is talking about leadership and self-discipline, but what it's really talking about is how do we see people for who they are and not objectify them in a way that makes it easy for us to just separate them in our minds. And I really think that's a beautiful message because there's so much just compassion and heart in that message of how do we embrace others so that we can really show up in a place of love and not judgment and acceptance And I love that. I think it's got such a great message. So it's a great read. I encourage anyone that's yes. looking for a next book. This is a good one.
That's such a needed message in today's day and age. And I would definitely make sure that the link is available in my show notes so then people can go check it out for anyone who loves to read, me included. Mary, this has been such a delight. Thank you so, so much for sharing this space and your time here with me and my listeners. So many good things. I cannot wait to speak to you again. I can see you as a forever friend of the podcast if you would like to be. And feel free to always reach out and just come back on because I know there's so much more you are able to share with everybody out there. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Lillian. I wish you nothing but success ahead. And I know that you're touching the right listeners with the right message because your heart's in the right place. So thank you again for sharing your gift with the world and for inviting me on.
Thank you.
Yay. That was just so, so good, right? It was everything. Here are the takeaways. Number one, healing isn't linear. You've got to give yourself more grace and compassion through that process. Number two, shift your energy and focus onto what fuels you and put your heart into it, and the things that you want in your life will follow. Number three, you can be confident and kind at the same time when it comes to what you want your life to look like. You are allowed to draw boundaries even with the ones closest to you. Number four, find a role model and successful people who are living the life you want to live and go work with them, mentor under them, network with their circles. Number five, love your kids unconditionally. Allow them the freedom to be who they are and want to be. Encourage them to be their best selves without limiting them to the boxes that you grew up with. Number six, one of the best skills to hone in life is to be comfortable with making mistakes. Number seven, be accepting of each other with respect and acknowledge each other in a way that doesn't cause division. Number eight, know your craft, but also be willing to walk into a room with humility and a heart to learn. Number nine, every great idea only became a reality because someone actually took action. Number 10, just start and be okay that it doesn't need to be perfect. Number 11, there is abundance in this world. Trust that there is a place for you, what you have to offer, and your stand. And number 12, be the person for one person. You just have to garner the love of the right tribe, not the masses. And Mary's current mantra is, there is more than enough, and the universe is always conspiring for me. Mary, you are just such a light in this world, a light that is so needed, especially during a time like that. Thank you for showing up. Thank you for showing the world who you are, how you are, and for showing especially the Asian female entrepreneurs and the Asian female community that the path towards living a life that is joyful, courageous, loud, you is possible. It's so possible. Everyone, if you are interested to continue to be in the realm of Mary's light, magic, laughter, joy, go follow her. Go give her some love. You can find more about her and all of her offerings via her website. And I have also included in the show notes all the different ways that you can connect with her. Definitely keep an eye out on the first book that she's going to come out with this summer. And also go check out the book where she is a co-author in. That's already available for the ebook and also for a hard copy version of it. So definitely go check those out. If you had loved and found value in this episode, let us know. Give us some love. Tag us. Do a screenshot, put it on Instagram, throw it into the Facebook page. Let us know how much you had found value with this conversation because that would mean the world to both me and Mary. Guys, I have enjoyed myself so much and so thoroughly bringing you these conversations. I
really am so grateful that you have provided me this space to do so. I think you have no idea how much you guys have given me, and I want to thank you for that. I hope that I have also reciprocated in ways, big or small, that I can and have for your life and for where you want to be with your life. Life's hard, but you don't have to do it alone. And I hope that here is a space that you feel most supported, most heard, and most cared for. Thank you so much for being here. I'll talk to you again real soon. Have a good, good week ahead, dear friends. Friends, I cannot express enough how thankful I am that you're here spending your time with me. I know life gets busy, and I truly believe that time is easily the greatest gift that one can give. I do not take this for granted, so here's me saying thank you, thank you, thank you. So I'm curious, did you enjoy this episode? Were there parts that were shared or discussed during the episode relatable? Or did you find yourself getting curious or enlightened about something we talked about? Whatever it may be, I want you to know that I would love to hear from you. You can do so by either connecting and direct messaging me on Instagram at resilient_and_rooted, or if you would like to reach out to me in a slightly more formal way, you can write to me at hello.resilientandrooted@gmail.com. Any feedback, thoughts, or even topics that you wish for us to dive deeper into, I'm more than welcome to receive those messages from you, and I cannot wait to hear them. Could you think of one friend who would enjoy and find what was shared in this episode valuable? If so, I encourage you to share the link to the show with them, because not only would you be helping a friend feel more supported and less alone as they navigate through a challenging season in their life, you'll also be helping your girl here get the show out to others who could use this safe space and this community right now. Once again, thank you so much for being here and for allowing me to bring this life-giving experience into your ears and life. And thank you so much for growing and journeying with me on this one heck of an adventure called life. I'll speak to you next week.